Okay, Samar Gimel Amid Beis, 63b3. We started, we got in the middle of the Gemara and we stopped. Okay, the, five lines from the end of the page. Okay. The Gemara discussed before about, you know, if you can force the woman to go back or not to go back, or what happens if she...
In the Mishnah?
What?
Are we in the Mishnah? What page are we on?
Mishnah.
63B.
63B3.
Oh, man. 63B3.
Okay, so now the Gemara tells a story like this. So remember, we learned that if she rebels, she loses everything, the ksuba and everything else. Okay, so Gemara tells a story like this. Kalsud Rav Zvid, the daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid, Imrada, rebelled against her husband. Okay? She said her husband was repulsive. She didn't want to live with him. So what happened? Havatfisa chat shiroi. She brought in, she grabbed one silk robe that she brought into the marriage.
Excuse me, what page are we on again?
63B3. Yatav ameimim marzutar avavashi. So these three people were sitting to discuss what to do. Because this is a rebellious wife, right? But she grabbed something. Normally she has to give everything back, but she grabbed it. So the question, can she keep it or not? So Meimer, Marzut, and Avashi were sitting, like a Bezdin, with three people. Yosef, Rav Gamda, Gabayel. And Rav Gamda, another Rav, was sitting in front of them. So Yosef, Ka'amad, the three of them sat and said, Marda, a woman who rebels against her husband, Hefsidabla, Ser, Kayamim. She loses even the worn-out clothing. Which means, this silk that she grabbed is not hers. Because she rebelled, she loses everything. Amlo Rav Gam, that's what the three Rabbanim paskent. So Rav Gamda says to them, Mishum Rav Zvid gave Rabba Machnifase. Because Rav Zvid is a great man, you're flattering him by ruling in his favor. Why are you ruling? What did they say? That the woman, Rav Zvid's ex-daughter-in-law, loses the robes, right? See, so Rav Kahana said, what are you talking about? Be boy, Rava, v'lay pashut. Rava asked such a shaila, does she lose something she grabbed or not? And the question was not answered. So how can you guys paskin that she loses it? Why, in other words, you're flattering Rav Zvita paskin like him because he's a great tzaddik. Why are you paskin like him? Rava said, now, you have to understand, if Rava asks the Shaila, when the Michal, in monetary issues like this, if there's a teiku in the Gemara, that means they don't have an answer. So what's the halacha? Bottom line. So Shulchan Aruch says, by monetary things, if you got it, you got it. Right? If she grabbed it, she keeps it. Why? The Shaila wasn't answered. So it's a toss-up. So whoever holds it, gets it. If she didn't grab it, she wouldn't be allowed to grab it. But she did grab it. And it's a shayla, do we give it back or not? So what's the halacha? When you have an unanswered question, whoever holds it keeps it. So why are you telling Rav Zvid that he gets it back from the daughter-in-law, or Rav Zvid's son, gets it back from the daughter-in-law because he's such a great man, you're flattering? That's not the halacha. The halacha is she should be able to keep it. Ikadab, this one. Another version says that what happened... Yosef and Kama and another thing they said, that Marda loy hefsid blasei in kayamin. She doesn't lose it. That means, lechatchila they pass, not like the first answer that Avzvid was right, that she loses it. The second version of the story is that she could keep it. So Amelo Rav Gamda said to them, this is a bunch of different version of what the story happened. Next page. Mishum Rav Zvid gaver Abu afichus le ledina loy. Because Rav Zvid is such a great man that he won't question your psak. You're ruling against him. Va'amar Rav Kahana said, "What's the question?" Mi boy le Rav le pashut. Rav didn't answer the question, right? So the question is. Oh, over there was like this. they made this lady give back everything. Even what she didn't grab. She has to give it all back. So he says, but Lepero, the court has no right to take from the husband the clothing she didn't grab. She grabbed one robe. But the other things, they let the husband keep. So the question, why shouldn't she get it? In other words, because maybe she's not entitled to them. The question is she entitled to them or not? Right? So why are you making the husband give back everything to this ex-daughter-in-law? Maybe she's not entitled to it. And he's holding it. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Okay, so he says like this. Hashad lo yitma lehachim lehachim. So Gemara concludes like this. Now that we don't know what the psak is, because one version is yes, one version is no, Rava didn't answer the question, so what do we do lehalachim? So Gemara says a very interesting thing. Tafsa, whatever she grabbed, loy mafkina mine. We don't take it away from her. Like we said, that's not loch. If she grabs it, it's hers. Loy tafsa, she didn't grab it yet. Yeah? Loy avina loy. We don't give it to her. That means basically the Gemara Paschal is like this. Whoever has this stuff, keeps it. What she grabs, she keeps. What she doesn't grab, that means the husband has it. She didn't take it yet. So then the husband keeps. Now, umashinli, another interesting thing the Gemara says, we give her Tresi Yachu Shata Gita. We wait 12 months until we give her the get. Why? And this is what the Gemara is saying. We let her reconsider for 12 months. A rebellious wife, the Gemara says, you don't give her a get right away. Because maybe she'll reconsider it. She'll start thinking what it's going to be like without him, whatever it is. So you push it off. Okay? Or what the Mepharshim actually explains is like this. The husband doesn't have to pay her the ksuba. Because she rebelled. So what's that loch? The husband divorces her, and he doesn't pay her the ksuba. So the Gemara says, what it means is like this. If the husband divorces her right away, he has to give her the ksuba. The husband has a right to wait 12 months for her to reconsider. And then, if she still didn't decide to be with him, he doesn't have to pay her the ksuba. So Gemara is saying, this that is said in the Mishnah, that a rebellious woman does not get a ksuba, that's only after 12 months. If the husband wants to dump her and get rid of her, then he does have to pay the ksuba.
Wait a minute, she waits 12 months to give get and
the
wait 12
waits,
months?
The husband waits 12 months.
The woman comes and says, I don't want to be with you anymore. Okay. You're disgusting, I hate your guts. She rebels. So the Mishnah said, if that's the case, she loses the ksuba. Right? What's the reason? Why does a ksuba? We learned already. Why did Chachamim institute ksuba? That a husband shouldn't just dump his wife because he has to pay a lot of money for the ksuba. He's not going to just dump her. So it's to protect the woman. Okay, in a case where the woman rebels, so she's no good. Why should we protect her? Okay? So this Gemara over here is saying that this that it says she loses the ksuba is when we give her time to reconsider and she still says no. Okay? That means, the Gemara says, if the husband doesn't want to pay the ksuba, he cannot give her a get for 12 months. But if he wants to give a get right away, then he has to pay the ksuba. Okay, next. Not only that was it. Machel in Teresi Yachin Shanta Gita. Ubahar of Teresi Yachin. Okay. And what do you do for those 12 months? Aleph Tishrei, she rebels. Yeah. Rosh Hashanah, right? So you give until next Rosh Hashanah. But the thing is, what's with that year? Does he have to feed her or not? So the Gemara says, Ubahanov Tresi Yarcha, those 12 months of the year, Lazva Mizenabal, the husband doesn't have to feed her. She has no right to be fed by the husband. Because she rebelled. So it's a very interesting Gemara. In other words, when does she lose the Ksuba? After 12 months. But right away she loses food and everything else because she's rebelling. The husband doesn't have to feed her and she cannot take him to Bezin to claim food because Bezin won't give it to her. Interesting. It brings down at the bottom of there that Rush writes that this, what the Gemara says, Hashta now, that was later Amiroyim. Why? What happened? A lot of women, they wanted to get divorced from the husband. So they thought, you know what? I'm going to say I hate the guy. He's repulsive. They'll get the ksuba with a get. I mean, the get with the ksuba. And they'll find somebody else. At least they'll have a lot of money to live. Chacham said, no, it's not going to work like that. You have 12 months to reconsider, and you're not getting your ksuba. Because what happened is the rush brings down, a lot of times the woman did it, and then they regretted it. You know, we learned the Gemara in Kedusha says, the women today don't like that Gemara. Tavla meisiv tandum, ila meisiv armalu. A woman says, I'll marry any husband just to be with somebody rather than to be alone. That's what the Gemara says. Women don't like this today. But that's what the Gemara says. So then, they would be impulsive, and they would say, okay, I want him out, you know, and I want to get to the ksuba, and then they regretted it later, and then the husband wouldn't want to remarry them. It's interesting. This is all to protect the woman, by the way. This is to protect the woman, even a rebellious woman, the Gemara is still taking care of her and protecting her. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Amen Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Meshmul. Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna said the name of Shmul. Kaysen Igeris Mered Al Arusa. Arusa, right, the Kedushin, who says, I don't want to marry my husband. In other words, we learned before, what's a merada? She doesn't want to be intimate with him. Arusa can't be intimate anyway with him. But you can have a rebellion. We learned before in the Gemara, there's a rebellious Arusa. What's Arusa? They had Kedushin, they're supposed to get married in 12 months. She said, I refuse to marry him. You can't marry a woman against her will, right? If the marriage has to willingly do it. So she says, you know what? I don't want to marry the guy. So what would Beis Din do? They would write an igeres mered. They would write a rebellious thing. In other words, a certificate issued by the Beis Din that the woman's ksuba is to be decreased and because she's a rebellious woman. That's what they did. They would write a letter, a public statement, you know, that this woman is a meredes.
And would they give that to?
Huh? The husband has it, yeah. Yeah. But, in case an against med al shemeres yavam, but against a rebellious woman that's waiting for yibum, you don't write one. The Gemara's going to discuss why. But what's this din? The guy died without kids. Right? The brother has to marry the widow. So it's either chalitz or yibum, right? But preferable, we see in the Gemara, so that says preferable is to do yibum. What happens to what this widow says, I don't want to marry him. I hate his guts. So she also becomes a rebellious woman. Because up then, she has to do yibum with him. If not, she becomes a rebellious woman. But for her, you don't write this document of rebellion. For Narusi, you do. Not for Shemer Tzavim. And the Gemara is going to explain why soon. So the Gemara says, may say, okay, there's a question on Shmuel, because Shmuel was the one that said this din. Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna said the name of Shmuel. So maybe say, I'll ask you a question like this. I've learned that the Braxa quoted before. Ach, aslid. There's no difference to me. The mission says, the Braxa, Arusa, Nesua, whether the rebellious woman is Arusa, married, Nida, Chayla, even Shemeres Yavam, There's no difference between any of them. Right? All rebellious. So what do you see from there? That Arusa and Shemer Siavim are the same. So if Arusa gets a letter, why should the Shemer Siavim get a letter? Right? Because it's, the Brisa says they're all equal. Right? If a rebellious Arusa gets it, then the according to this Brisa, Shemer Siavim, should also get the rebellious. So my answer is the difference is like this. Like Kash, it's not a problem. Khan, in this Brisa, that it says, you do write a refusal, is Shatavahu. The husband, the Yavam, yeah, says, I want to marry the Yavama. Give it to me. I want to marry her. Yeah? Now, and she refuses. So if she refuses, then the Braisa says, you do write. Because Arusa and Shemer Siavim are the same, right? You write for both. What's that case when you write for a Shemer Siavim? The case is, the Yavam says, okay, we have to do Yim, let's get married, let's go. And she said, no, I don't want you. Then you do write this refusal document. But, Kan, Shetavihi, Shmozdin, is when she says to the widow, says to her brother-in-law, let's get married. And he doesn't want. So because it's him, he can't write a refusal for her because she's not refusing. She wants to get married to him. He doesn't want to marry her. The Amr Avtachlifa Baravima Meshmul, where do you see this? Because Avtachlifa Baravima said also in the name of Shmuel, Tavahu, if the Yavam demands for the girl to marry him and she says no, then this Kakula, you help him, because then she's rebellious. He says, let's get married, and she says no. So then she's rebellious. But Tavi, he, but if she demanded he get married, she wants to get married to him, and he refuses, ain't this Kakula, then you don't help her. Meaning, you don't write this refusal against her, because she didn't do anything wrong. She wants to marry the guy. Right? So the Gemara says there's two types of Shemer Siavim. I mean, one type of Shemer Siavim. This woman has to do Yibam. Right? So if the husband, the brother-in-law, says, okay, let's get married, let's do Yibam. She says no. So she's refusing. She's a Meredes. And therefore you write this refusal now that she refused. Right? But if she says, let's get married, and the husband says, no, I don't want to marry you. I don't like you. So then you can't write a refusal document for her, right? Because she didn't do anything wrong. Right? She said, let's get married.
It's not the same as our case, because in our case, if she refused, so...
Then she's a rebellion.
Yeah, and they have to pay for 1 year, right?
Yeah.
But he hasn't
married yet. They're married yet.
Yeah.
But the question is, do you write this document against her? So if she refuses the Yobam, then you write the document. That's what the Braisa says. Shmuel that says, you don't write a document, because she really didn't rebel.
What's going to happen if you write this document? Not going to make any difference.
Yeah, first of all, people see rebellious. The document says you start decreasing the ksuba as time goes on. But we learned every week you decrease $1.
They're not married, though.
She's
like,
she's only
when they get married.
She doesn't want to get married. She refused.
That's why if it happens that they get married, she loses the ksuba until she finally loses it all. You're right, it's a little strange case because they're not married. But still... it keeps going down until that if, for whatever reason, she ends up marrying him, she's going to have a much smaller ksuba.
So it goes down to the whole period, even if they're not married yet?
Right. But the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. So what do you think? Shmuel's case where you don't write for the Shemer Siavim is when she didn't refuse, he refused. Right? So if that's the case... The Arusa story, where Shmuel says, you do write, Yeah, if she refuses, has to be the same case. That he refused, not her. Right?
Right.
So why are you writing a refusal against her if she didn't refuse? Shmuel said to Dinam, if he refuses, I'm sorry, if Yarusa refuses, you write the refusal document. Shemaris Yavim doesn't. Right? That means it's the same case, except Arusi, you write the document, and Shemaris Yavim, you don't. No, right? But now the Gemara said, what's the case? What's the case? The case is when, by Shemaris Yavim, that he rebelled, not her. Right? Excuse me. Where he rebelled, not her. Therefore, by the case of Shemaris Yavam, you don't write the refusal document. Because she didn't refuse. So if by Arus is the same case that she didn't refuse, so why are you writing a document against her? She didn't do anything. The husband refused. So Gemara says, B'mayu kimta l'adu Shmuel. What are you saying, Shmuel? B'shatavihi, when she demanded the man to marry and he doesn't want. So why does it say Gerson married it? Al Arusa, you're right, rebellious to the Arusa, it should be La Arus. In other words, then the document is against the man, not against the woman. Shmuel said to Dinim, if an Arusa refuses to get married, Bezdin writes a proclamation that this woman rebelled. Right? A woman waiting for Yibum, Shmuel said, you don't write the rebellious report, the proclamation. But the Gemara said, if it's picking both cases, that the husband rebelled, not her, the Yibum doesn't want to marry her. Or, a guy was at Kedusha and the girl says, okay, let's get married, it's time to get married. And he says, no, I don't want. Yeah? Why is she getting the refusal proclamation? Should be getting the refusal proclamation. Because she didn't do anything wrong. She says, let's get married. The husband says, I don't want to marry you. So why should she be losing out? He should be losing out. But Shmuel says the expression, you write it against her, not against him. So you might say, okay, that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel said you write it against him. It's a very simple Gemara over here. The one that refuses gets the proclamation from Bezin that they're refusing. Right? So if the wife refuses, so then you write a proclamation that she's a rebellion. Rebellious. Both Arusa, Shemer Yishavam, doesn't matter. If the husband's the one that refuses, then you write a refusal against him, that's all. So Shmuel and the Braisa are not contradicting. The Braisa is speaking when she refuses, then the Braisa says you write a document against her. And Shmuel is speaking it then when he refuses, not her. So then you write the rebellious agreement against him. Which means, by the way, that he has to add to the tzuba. Remember we learned before, if he refuses to marry her, you have to add more money. Okay. Next, tomorrow like this.
Why is there a kasuba for not getting married?
The eventual kasuba. When they do get married, the kasuba that they would be getting.
This is the case where they got engaged, and during the engagement year, they decide not to get married.
Oh, it's not engaged. It's kedusha. That's not that, because that's what this woman needs to get. She's a married woman. She just can't live with the husband until they have a chuppah. Engagement, what we call today engagement, is
nothing,
but you know, many circles, they have what's called the tenoyim, right? So many people, most people today, Chabad also, but most people today will write the tenoyim right at the chuppah. You know the tenoyim, the tenoyim is only good and valid until the chuppah happens. Once the chuppah happens, the tenoyim is null and void. What's the tenoyim? Tenoyim is basically a contract between both sides that the kids are going to get married to each other. And all the financial responsibilities are taken care of, right? So, years ago, at the time they got engaged, not Kedushin, when they got engaged, they wrote Tanoim. You know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago even, people wrote Tanoim. Chabad never did, but they would write Tanoim. In fact, the thing we call L'chaim of art, then it was called Tanoim. They used to actually, many circles, not in ours, they would actually write Tanoim.
What does Tanoim mean?
Tanoim literally means conditions of both sides to have everything ready for the wedding. Okay?
You still do that?
So today, most people do it right under the chuppah. Because, you know, just for the sentimental, spiritual thing of a Tanoim.
I've never seen that.
What? What?
I've never seen write a Tanoim.
So they write it
I don't know what they do in the garage. By Jewish weddings, they write Tanoim.
Okay.
I mean, garage sales, but tonight in Jewish weddings,
whatever,
they do tonight.
Whatever.
Okay.
Isn't it done before the ketubah thing?
First, they write the tonight.
Right.
They sign it. Then they write the ketubah.
Right.
Okay. Why do we do it today?
No, but it's not done under the chuppah. It's done.
I said before the chuppah. Before the chuppah. Okay. Yeah. Now. Why do people do it today, not 3 months earlier? It was brought down in Sfarim. To break a Tanoim is a very bad thing to do. It says in Halacha, the best thing to do is be get married and have a get, rather than break Tanoim. Spiritually. This is brought down in Sfarim. So because we're afraid of broken engagements and all that, we don't want to do a Tanoim and then break an engagement, you know, with the Tanoim. It's not a good thing. Yeah. So we do it right before the Chuppah. If they're going to change their mind, right, they're pretty late already. Yeah. So hopefully they're not going to change their mind.
Hopefully they show up at the wedding.
Yeah. No, it's just a practical thing.
Hopefully they show up at the wedding.
I'll tell you, even by Sfardim, they used to have, today a lot of the Sfardim rabbis don't do it anymore. They used to wait. Crazy amounts of money in the ksuba. Millions of dollars and this. That's what he used to do.
And then the wife demanded it.
And then the wife got divorced.
And demanded it. What's standard today?
Huh?
What's the standard amount today?
Well, like us, 200 zuz for psula, 100, you know, whatever it is.
And they don't even
tanoim
or l'chaim. It's just like party, engagement party. It doesn't mean anything, no?
Today we also have a l'chaim. It doesn't mean anything. No. But nevertheless, they break a plate for some, but by us, we do a kinyan from the chosin and from the kala. Okay? If a kinyan was, that's very interesting. In halach it says, if a chosin kala did a kinyan, and they break the engagement, they need to get mechila, forgiveness from each other.
Oh boy.
That's mandatory, mechila. If they didn't have a kinyan, it's not so strict to get mechila from each other. I was myself by a few engagements, I mean, very few. I knew the engagement wasn't going to last. I definitely didn't do a kinyan.
What is a kinyan?
Pick up the handkerchief to legally bind yourself to. Oh. So I didn't do the kinyan. Because I had a gut feeling it's not going to last too long, the engagement, which it didn't. So why make a kinyan, make problems?
Well, I've never seen a handkerchief before.
Is a kinyan like it tonight?
I've never seen that before.
Two witnesses. Pick up the handkerchief with the chasen, you know, give it to the chasen picks it up.
Yeah.
Are you binding yourself to marry this girl? It's not a legal document, it's oral.
When is that? You bind yourself
in the middle of the garage sale before
no,
the Super Bowl.
No, be serious, okay?
What do you mean, what is it? They be before the chuppah, what do you want?
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, they do it.
Are you ever at the chosin's table? Chosin tish?
Yeah.
That's where they do it.
Mm. It usually happens before the wedding.
I gotta look more closely.
No, look more closely next time.
Before the chuppah. Usually private.
Quick.
You do it halftime at the Super Bowl. I don't know what to do.
They rush you into a room, you have the rabbi, you have a couple of the family members
okay.
there. No, but by L'chaim, the minig is they do a kinyan with a chosin from the kala, that's it. By the Troim, you do, it says in the Troim, a whole bunch of things, you do it from both sides, from the guarantors, from the chosin, from the kala, you know, you do a whole bunch of kinyanim.
Take notes.
I got married.
For your kids.
Oh, for my kids, yeah.
Not for you.
We were doing this for my wedding September 11th, 2001, during in New York.
Yeah?
I was married in front of 770 in 2001. September 11th. The attack.
The day of the attack.
That
the
was my chuppah.
Oh, my God.
We were doing all this.
You got married with a bang. You got married with a bang.
With a big bang.
You saw the smoke.
Two big bangs. Wow. Yeah, from the chuppah, yeah. Right from the left of our chuppah was right there. Yeah, the whole place like a ghost town. They had like police everywhere and there's nobody on the street.
Okay, now. So the Gemara asks, okay, Mashna, okay, what's the difference that by Shemar is Yavam, then in the case where she wants him to get married and he doesn't, the like, that you don't write a rebellion to her. L'chayda, we should be adding her ksuba. We should be adding to her ksuba, right? So the Shmuel said before, Shemar is Yavam that rebels, you don't write rebellious to him or to her. Shemar Yavam. Shmuel said before, you don't write a rebellious document. Not to him and not to her. Right? And Arusa, you write for her. So Gemara said, what's the difference? L'chayda, if she's supposed to marry this Yibam, and he refuses, why aren't you adding to her ksuba? Like the Mishnah said before. So Gemara said, because we say to her, Zilei Mipraktada. You're not commanded to have children. The Gemara says in Yevamos that the mitzvah pruervu, fruitful multiply, is only on men, not on women. Women don't have a mitzvah pruervu. You have other mitzvahs. What's called Leila Tel B'Nal Shavas Yitzana. The world was not created to be empty. The world was created to be civilized. But the mitzvah, the first, you know, mitzvah, the Torah pruervu, a woman is not obligated. So Gemara says, why not? Gemara Yevamos says, why not? Because the pasuk says, "Pluervu umilu saaretz, fill up the earth, v'chivshu and conquer it." And the Gemara says, "Men go to war; women don't go to war." Not the idea for Israel. Women don't go to war. So the fact that the Torah says about pluervu, conquer the earth, right? Who conquers men? So the Gemara says, you see, the Torah excludes women from the mitzvah pluervu.
I thought I had to do it because it was a painful mitzvah.
So no.
Hashem
doesn't
want them to go through pain so he won't command
them. Mila is not pain?
Mila is pain, but is a woman commanded for Mila?
The baby, why are you worried about pain? Why are you doing mitzvah Mila?
No. Yeah, I just thought it was... Well, yeah.
By the way, the pain of childbirth, the wife's caused it because of Chava, I mean.
I get that.
Okay. So he says, if that's the case, Arusa Nami, yeah, if she, what did Shmuel say? If the lady that had the Kedushin says to the husband, marry me, and he says no, then you add to her Ksuba. So why can't he say the same thing? You're also not obligated in Puravu. Why should I add money to your Ksuba? Now the Gemara says again, Shmuel said, Shemeres Yavam Payibam, if the wife, the woman, the widow, says marry me, to the brother-in-law, because they have no kids. And he says, no, you don't add anything to the ksuba. So why by Arusa do you add to the ksuba? That's what Shmuel said before. But the Gemara said, it doesn't make sense. Why by Shemeris Yavam don't you? Because you can say to her, listen, you're not obligated to have children. So if I'm not marrying you, big deal. So by Arusa is the same thing. He could say, listen, I'm not marrying you, big deal. You don't need to have kids anyway. What's the difference? So Gemara says, no, the answer is, Avavavah Machmas Taina. It's speaking when she comes with a legitimate claim. What's the difference between Arus and Shemer Siyav and something like this? The Amar, she says, Be'ina chutra liyada, I need a staff for my hand, and a shovel for my barrier. Okay, what it means like this. by Arusa, she says, listen, I need to have kids. I might not be obligated to have kids, but I need to have kids. Why? Who's going to take care of me for my burial? Who's going to take care of me when I get old? I need kids. So she comes with a legitimate complaint why she wants to get married. In other words, the case, the Arusa comes and says, marry me. We had Kedushin. Marry me. The guy says, no, I don't want to marry you. So the Gemara says, why should he have Ksuba? She can't, she's not obligated to have kids anyway. Yeah? So the Gemara said, but yeah, but she still has a taina. She said, I need to have kids, if not mitzvah. I need to have kids to take care of me when I'm old. Who's going to take care of me? So then the Gemara says, Hachanami Shemeres Yavam is also about Machmas Taina. So she has the same complaint. She needs kids when she's old. Right? So what's the difference? So it says like this. Eli'idi ve'idi shetavahu. So the Gemara changes, by the way. Until now, the Gemara said Shmuel is speaking when the husband rebels. She says, let's get married, and the husband says no. So the Gemara says, no, we're changing that. It's speaking when the husband says get married and she says no. The Braisa says in all cases you write the document Shmuel said by Yibum not. So the Braisa says Vloikasha. Kan lachleit the kamli yamim. Meaning like this. One case is when the Yavam says I want to do chalitza with you. And she refuses. Because she refuses then you by this public knowledge. What's her excuse? I want to have kids. I'm not marrying you anyway. Right? I'm not marrying you anyway. So why aren't you doing chalitza? I want to do chalitza to marry somebody else. Right? Why aren't you doing chalitza? She rebels. She has no reason to rebel. What's a rebellion? I have a reason because I want to have kids. I'm not marrying you anyway. I'm going to give you chalitza. The braisa that says Shemeres Yavam does get a letter of rebellion is when she wants to do Yibum with him. And he wants to do Yibum. And she refuses Yibum.
What is Yibum?
To marry the widow, a guy dies without kids, the brother has to marry the widow. We don't do it
today. The husband dies, and the wife marries supposed to marry the brother.
Okay.
If the Yavan demands from the woman to do chalitza and she refuses, then you help him. Because she rebelled for no reason. But if he demands her to marry him, okay, and she said no, you don't do anything about it. Why? Because, as the Gemara is going to say later, now we don't do Yibum, we do Chalitza. The Gemara is going to say an interesting Gemara, I don't know if we'll get there today, but the Gemara says, originally, okay, what does the Torah say? Torah says, if a guy dies without children, his brother has to marry the woman. Correct? Mm-hmm. Then the Torah continues, it says, what happens if she refuses, if they don't want to get married? Then you do Chalitza. But then you need to take off the shoe, spit the whole chalitza process. What do you see clearly the Torah says what's ideal? First you do Yibum, the Torah says. Right? The Torah says first you do Yibum. If that doesn't work, then you do chalitza. Right? But the din is, you can only do Yibum if you mean it l'shma only for the mitzvah, for no other reason. That's why the Gemara said nowadays, where people are not on that level, they have other reasons why they want to marry the widow. So then, today we do chalitza. Today there's no such thing as Yibum today.
No.
Today? No. Only chalitza.
Is it true if someone marries like the Yibum, but they have a kids, they are not allowed to marry, and kids are, if they marry and they have a kids, they are mamzerim?
Say it again?
Like, imagine, so the husband died of the brother.
But they're kids.
But they have kids. And
he marries her?
And
yeah, the kids are mamzerim.
Mamzerim.
Yeah?
Why? Because
Because it's a sister-in-law, brother-in-law are forbidden. It's one of the capital punishments.
The kids after they get married.
Sure, the Torah is clear. You can't marry
them. It's a brother.
And a sister-in-law.
And the kids are having three months.
A guy is not allowed to marry his brother's wife. It's a clear pasuk. And because it's capital punishment of Karis, the kids are mamzer.
Yeah.
So the brother is not allowed to marry the guy's wife, the brother's wife.
Correct.
Except for Yibun.
Right.
But that's what they put as something in the shoe, right?
That's chalitza.
Yeah.
That's what's done today.
So let's say the woman says, "Okay, I'll marry you."
So we don't do it today.
Huh?
We don't do it today.
You don't do it today.
No, we're not allowed to do it today. In fact, the Gemara says later, that when it came Yibum, Beis Din would first decide. You can have, especially in the olden days, there could be a 20-year difference between two brothers. Oh. Right? There could be a 20-year difference between brothers. Especially if they had many wives, so then, you know, the guy could be older, marry a younger woman, and whatever, yeah? So now, let's say the Yibum, the woman, could be now 30. Right? And the husband's brother is 10. Yeah? So you're gonna tell the 10-year-old to do Yibum with the older sister, who's old enough to be his mother. Right? Yeah, but I'm saying that, you know, so the Gemara says in the different places it talks about in Yavamas, basically, that the Mishnah over there says that Beis Din figures out what's best for the person. Then today you have a Chen Rabbeinu Gesher, you can't have two wives anyway. So the guy's married, right? And he's going to take a second wife, his sister-in-law. So he can't have two wives. B'chal, and the Gemara says, the Gemara's going to bring this down later. The only time you do Yibum is when they actually mean it, you know, mamish, for the mitzvah. But if you don't mean it for the mitzvah, you're not allowed to do Yibum.
So the
10-year-old...
Everybody doesn't do that.
No, it's Gemara. Allah, it's Gemara. Yeah.
So the 10-year-old would have to do chalitza?
What, Yibum?
Yeah. Who did? Someone.
How long ago?
Like 50 years ago.
How long ago?
50 years ago.
I don't think so.
It was Issa.
Gemara says.
They did what wasn't good, but they did.
What's it? Yeah. It's a Gemara later on. It says, mitzvah of Yibum comes, it's a mitzvah, a Mishnah in their Yevamos, yeah? It's not that nowadays not a mitzvah to perform Yibum. Okay? So it sounds like this. The Mishnah says, where it calls the Tran in the Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? In Yevamos, okay. It says, mitzvah Yibum, kaidamis a mitzvah chalitza. I'm quoting from the Gemara at the bottom of the page. First comes Yibum, then Chalitza. Achshav, but now, oh no, B'Shaina, earlier years, Shayim is Kavan L'Shem Mitzvah, when they did it for the Mitzvah, so then they did Yibum. Achshav, Shayim is Kavan L'Shem Mitzvah, today there's no Mitzvah involved, okay, because he just wants another wife for this girl, then, Amu Mitzvah Chalitza, Kedemis L'Mitzvah Yibum. Chalitza comes first. Not only does it come first, then you're not allowed to do Mitzvah. You're not allowed to do a Yibum today.
Would the 10-year-old in that case have to do Chalitza?
They have to wait until he's Bar Mitzvah. Then they do it.
Then they do Chalitza.
Yeah, we had a case here in the city like that. They had to wait for the kid to come Bar Mitzvah. When he came Bar Mitzvah, he did Chalitza. There's a guy that married a girl, yeah, and he passed away without kids. He died young, whatever, without kids. And he had an 8-year-old brother, 10-year-old brother, whatever it was. And they had to wait until the kid became Bar Mitzvah to do Chalitza. So that girl couldn't get married for those years until they were able to do Chalitza.
Wow.
Because a woman who needs to do Yibum cannot remarry unless there is Chalitza. But if there's kids, then it's a mother, so he can't marry the woman.
Wow. So if they're kids, she's free.
That's why the whole Gemara in Yavam was like, the whole Gemara in Yavam is discusses at great length. How do you know he didn't have kids in another city? Remember I told you, you guys used to have wives in different cities? And the other wives didn't know about the other wives? Yeah? So Gemara says, he died without children, but maybe he has kids from another wife. If he has kids from another wife, then you don't have to do Yibim or Chalitza. Right? Because he has kids.
But you gotta find that other wife.
Yeah? To find out where they are. Okay, let's do the next piece of Gemara. Gemara says, Mashna liyabim. What Gemara asks, what's the difference by Yibum? The lay that you don't write this, you know, this rebellious document. That means, like, we tell the husband, okay, so what if she doesn't want to do Yibum? Marry somebody else, big deal. Zon zavit tzachini, go marry a different woman. Sev chalitza nami, nemele, zon zavit tzachini, then tell him marry a different woman. Why do you have to write a rebellious document against a woman that she refuses to do chalitza yibum? Let her marry somebody else. In other words, like this: if there's a woman, okay, that her husband died, yeah, she has to do either yibum or chalitza, correct? Yep. But if she rebels, what's the big deal? Tell the husband, you want to get married, marry somebody else. He can get married. She can't get married until chalitza yibum, but he can get married.
You can marry anybody?
You can marry.
You're talking about the brother.
The brother who has a family or doesn't have a family, doesn't matter.
The brother is supposed to take
he doesn't have to do chalitza if he doesn't.
For her to be married, she needs to do chalitza. But he can marry somebody else meanwhile.
I mean, the brother.
You can have many wives.
The brother.
Right? You can have many wives. What's the problem?
She
needs a chalitza to be married. So Gemara said, by Arus is the same thing. She doesn't want to get married, so marry somebody else, big deal. What's the problem? Al-Adama, I say, the reason why he can't say that. He said, Kivan Nagida be, because people know I'm connected to this woman that I have to do Chalitza Yibim with, the people are not going to want to marry me. You know, like the person's still stuck with this other woman. Yeah? Maybe he'll marry her one day and there'll be a competition to this wife. Why would some, you know, people don't like get involved. People that have baggage. Like the expression, people that have baggage. This guy has baggage. He has a woman that he has to do chalitza yibum to. Correct? So maybe he'll want to marry. Why should another woman want to marry this guy when he might be stuck with another wife? So it's going to be hard to find the shidduch. Hachanami, so the same thing by Arusin should be the same thing. Kivin Nagidabay. The Yavama could say the same thing. Just like by Arusa. It could be the same thing. Okay, we're going to stop here, Kent. Okay, next.